Good morning, church. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 20. Psalm 20 is a musical psalm. It was used in two ways in Israel. It was used to praise God before they went to war. They would gather together. The nation would come together, and they would quote this or sing this psalm to God, in essence asking for his protection, his guidance, and his victory. Secondly, it was used after the war was over, the skirmish was done. Perhaps a nation had attacked. And in that attack, God came providentially to the care of Israel and delivered them. And they would sing this song on the occasion of the victory. In fact, it even went further than that. They would sing this coming back from the battle, sometimes having soldiers that they had taken captive, much spoil, and they would come into Israel, to Jerusalem, and they would be singing this psalm. And when we look at it, you'll know why. But in this psalm, Psalm 20, on three occasions, the phrase, the name of God, is mentioned. Verse 1, the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Verse 5, we will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Verse 7. Some trust in chariots. Do you see this? Some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. And so this morning I want to speak to you on this subject, the name of God. The importance of understanding what it means. He doesn't define God's name in this passage. He states its historical and providential importance. He says first, the name of the God of Jacob. Now, why would he say that? Jacob was a stinker. How many know that? He was stingy, selfish. He was crooked. But God used Jacob to help build the nation of Israel. That nation became a powerful nation. When Jacob wrestled with God, you'll remember that, he asked God his name. God never gave him his name. It wasn't till well after that late in the life of Jacob, that God revealed to Jacob his name, and the name he revealed to Jacob, get this, was Shiloh. Shiloh means the only one who can bring peace. Jacob was internally at war. His nation was externally at war. And only the God who can bring peace could solve both problems. Solve the internal problem that Jacob had, warring in his soul. And he could solve the external problem Israel had, the war between other nations. So this morning, let's look at this passage. Let me give you the outline very quickly. His name is Our Defense, all God's people said. Amen? You know, there are hundreds of names in the Bible for God. And you need to walk through them. We did this on Wednesday night. We walked through the names of God. And it was a wonderful study noting how important each name was, and each name represented a particular characteristic of God. And God is a God of many names, multiple names, but the main name is the Lord, or Jehovah, the God of provision, the God who keeps his promises, all God's people said. And so his name is our defense, verse 1. Verse 5, his name is our basis for courage, all God's people said. I'm glad I don't have to rely on myself for courage. But I can rely on God for courage. God will bolster you, will stand you up, will keep you steadfast, will stand in your stead. He's our defense. Then lastly, verses 7 and 8, his name is the assurance of our fixed position. Our fixed position. Did you know you had to have a fixed position, or you ought to have? It's a standing that God gives to us. Listen, let me read the verses. Some trust in chariots, some in horses. Here's your fixed position. We will remember the name of the Lord of our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand, I love this, stand upright. We have a fixed position because of God. And so this morning, let's look at these three wonderful truths, and may we apply them to our life. Number one, his name is our defense. Proverbs 18:10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth to it and is safe. Turn to Genesis just for a second, chapter 28. I'm going to read you just a passage that has to do with Jacob and God. Genesis 28. Verse 15. Jacob fell asleep. And in this dream, God said to Jacob, listen to these words. Behold, I am with thee. That's all God said. That's good enough. Amen? I am with thee. And will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee. God said, what I'm telling you, I'm going to do, and I will never leave you until it is a finished principle in your life, all God's people said. There are four things mentioned in this verse that have to do with God as our defense. Number one, he says, I am with thee. Right by that, constant companionship. All God's people said. God is our constant companion. He never leaves us. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. God is our constant companion. You may feel sometimes like God's not around. That's not God. That's you or me. Amen? We get away from God, but He never gets away from us. I am with thee. Constant companionship. Secondly, he says in this passage, I will keep thee. Right by that, complete protection. I will keep thee. Complete protection. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. I will uphold thee by the right hand of my righteousness. You can't be more protected than that. God is our complete protection. I will keep thee. You study the life of Jacob, God kept him. When you come to Christ and you receive Him as your Savior, God is in the keeping business. Keeps you safe, keeps you saved, keeps you secure, keeps you in a position of satisfaction, all God's people said. I am with thee, constant companionship. Number two, I will keep thee, complete protection. Here's number three, I will bring thee. God had a direction and a place for Jacob to go, and God was going to bring him to that complete position. Put this, committed guidance. Committed guidance. I will bring thee. Committed guidance. I wished I knew what God was going to do with me. How many have ever thought of that? Has anybody ever thought that? I wish I knew what God was doing, period. You know, the will of God isn't all that difficult. If we do what God tells us to do, He'll show us what He wants us to do, all God's people said. The problem isn't in finding out what God wants. It's in doing what He wants. There are a myriad of things God tells us we're to do. And as we do them, God will direct you, will guide you. He will bring you, just like Jacob, I will bring thee again into this land, all God's people said. Then there's one last thing he says here in our defense. I will not leave thee, all God's people said. There have been times in my life when I looked on my right hand and looked on my left hand. Refuge failed me like the psalmist. I felt like no man cared for my soul. How many have ever been there before? But here's a promise. I will not leave thee. He will never, ever give you up. You can't be lost once you're saved. Amen? He doesn't love you less today than He loved you yesterday. He loves you the same. Amen? You can't go off and mess up if you're a saved individual and God and lose God's love for you. God loves you exactly the same. His love never changes. Amen? Amen? And this love will cause him and causes him to promise to never, ever leave you. He will not let you go. In Ephesians 6:12, the Bible says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." Our fight isn't here. Well, there are a lot of Baptists that fight here. This is not where our fight is. "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places." That's the hierarchy of the satanic realm. Principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness in high places, rulers of the darkness. That's where our fight is, amen? But I'm thankful to God that though we have a fight with Satan and his emissaries, and though he is going to try to do everything he can to destroy you, though he sets his minions as attack upon us, sometimes on a daily basis, he can't win. How do you know that? "I will never leave thee." Christ is stronger. Christ is greater. Now, Satan can get a hold of you, 2 Corinthians 2:11. He can cause you to doubt sometimes. He can cause you to question sometimes. He will even change your view of God sometimes, cause you to think God's something different than he really is. But God's the same. I like the thought that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and forever. Always the same. God is in the taking care of business, all God's people said. Number one, God is our defense. Number two, his name is our basis for courage, all God's people said. Listen to what our verse says. Again, it's important to see it. Verse 5. "We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up banners," all God's people said. They really did that. Psalm 60 in verse 4 says, "Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be on display because of the truth." The name of the banner, or the name on the banner, was the name of the captain, the general, the king, all God's people said. They had these banners printed, and they weren't little bitty banners, they were great big banners. Sometimes two or three men would have to carry them. And they would march into battle with this banner in full display. The name of the king on it. Can't you see that? "Saul has slain his thousand, David his tens of thousands." David wasn't anybody to mess with. So can't you see, through the years of David's life and the many victories he had won, and the Amalekites decide they're going to attack Jerusalem, and they show up, and they have this praise time, asking God to bless, asking God to give them the victory. They build up the army. They get them all excited about serving God. They put their banner out in front, and they march out to war. The Amalekites see that banner, and listen to this. In some occasions, all it took was the banner to show up. And the other nation would go, nobody told us we're fighting against him. What, are we nuts? Last time he fought, he just destroyed the Philistines. I mean, he just destroyed them. What are we doing? Let's pack up and get out of Dodge. Amen? His banner. It identified for whom the army was fighting, and it let the foe know who they were about to face. When the banner of a certain ruler was displayed, sometimes the other army took flight. We, listen very carefully, we raise our banner with the name of the captain of our salvation on it. Amen? This banner, which is stained with his own precious blood from his victory on the cross, will vanquish all our foes and put them to flight. Philippians 2, 10 and 11. I love this passage. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen? Sometime the final battle will be fought. And when that final battle is done, the banner will be standing, the victory will be clear. And every person that was in defiance will drop to their knees and look to the one who is the captain of our salvation. And they'll have to confess that he and only he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. When the battle comes and the tide turns, the army would rejoice even before the battle was over. Sensing the victory, our captain has already won the victory. But thanks be to God, 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Take your mind's eye and walk back to Calvary there at the end of his crucifixion. Christ cried a word that every person would understand. Here's the word. Tetelestai. It is finished. Actually, the word means victory accomplished. Amen? They saw him die. What did he mean? 3 days later, he walked out of the grave, rose from the dead, served his own servants, lived 40 days to display his resurrection body, and rose and went to heaven, and that same Jesus is coming back in like manner as we have seen him go into heaven. He won the victory. All God's people said, amen. His name is our basis for courage. Then lastly, his name assures our fixed position. Some trust in chariots. When I think of that verse, I don't know why, but my mind goes back to Moses. He led the people out of Egypt. The plague, the 10th plague, all of the firstborn of Egypt died. They wanted him gone, wanted Israel gone. They left. They got to the Dead Sea. They got to the Red Sea, and it parted for them, all God's people said. They want to cross on dry land. When they got to the other side, they could see across the Red Sea, a huge army coming. in chariots with horses and all of the implements of war, coming to destroy Israel, Pharaoh and his army. They got down about half the way into the Red Sea. God looked down and said, "That'll do." I don't know if he snapped his fingers. The water came down and drowned every single one of them. Some trust in chariots. Some trust in horses. Who was Moses and the children of Israel trusting? They were trusting in the name of the Lord their God. Now get this. He hasn't changed. He's the same God. Amen? Just as powerful today. Just as capable today. Just as sure today. And verse 8 says, they are brought down and fallen, those who trust in chariots, but we are risen, and I love this phrase, and stand upright, or have a fixed position. We're not moving, amen? We're not vacillating. We're standing firm, not in our own strength, or our talents, or our abilities. We're standing firm in the person of God. 1 Chronicles 29:11, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness, and the power, and the glory, and the victory." When others begin to vacillate and others begin to fall, we'll still be standing. Amen? We'll still be here. The fight is on, the battle rages, and Satan is on the attack. And by the way, he's not going to quit tonight. His final assault will be at our final hour, when we face death and look death in the face, but even in death we have victory. Isaiah 25:8 says of God, he will swallow death up in victory. All God's people said. 1 Corinthians 15. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass a saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory, quoting Isaiah 25. O death, where is thy sting? Grave, where's your victory? The strength of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Our standing is secure in Christ. And when he comes for us and Satan looks at us, we will still be standing. All God's people said. Fixed. Fixed. No matter what Satan says, no matter what others say, no matter where our society seems to be going at the time, we are not worried about the whims of men or the sociological strata of our society. We are fixed in our position because we are fixed in God. Stand up for Jesus. Ye soldiers of the cross, lift high his royal banner, it shall not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army will he lead, till every foe is vanquished and Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus. Our God. Our God. He's there for us. And this simple little passage is declaration of how much we can trust in God. Amen. Lord, help us to love you, serve you, and live for you. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.